From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 400, recorded live Thursday, November 28th, 2013. This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support. Online at telerik.com. And by franklins.net, makers of GesturePack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Microsoft developer Dino Vielen about the new open-source Node.js tools for Visual Studio.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'm up here in Redmond on the Microsoft campus, and I happen to be talking to Dino Vielen. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, dude. You came on and talked about Python tools for VS, which freaked people out. Lots of positivity. There were actually folks on Hacker News that were like, I can't believe it.
Yeah. It's people are constantly shocked that we have one of the best Python IDEs that are out there.
Mm-hmm. And I said this a little bit before, but I want to dig in. Like, are you guys sneaking under the, like, has no one noticed you yet? Like, are you under the radar?
No, they notice us and, they continue to fund us for some reason. It's, you know, we are making people happy with our tools and, making it a little bit easier to work in the Microsoft ecosystem.
How many people are you guys?
So we have a team of 4 developers, 2 testers, and 1 PM.
Okay. And are you the dev or one of the PMs? Or
I am one of the devs.
One of the devs. Okay, cool. So you guys just came out with Node tools for Visual Studio.
Yep.
They said it would never happen.
Yeah. You know, it was a great fit for our team to go off and conquer. You know, obviously we've done a lot of work, across the company with Node for Windows Azure. We've had the Windows Azure PowerShell SDK for deploying to it, but we've been missing a big piece of having a good tooling story for it. Mm-hmm. And so my team has been there going off and creating, tooling for Visual Studio for dynamic languages for some time now. And so it was something that we could come in and, quickly get ramped up on and create a new, IDE for doing Node development.
With the Python stuff, there's this idea of environments and there's lots of different choices, different Iron Python or C Python or this Python. You just set up different runtimes.
Yep.
With Node, it's a little bit more straightforward.
Yep. So obviously there are different versions of Node. But right now we're not doing anything with that. We've just gone a nice simple path of just kind of assuming that you're on the latest node or the latest node that we targeted when we released. Mm-hmm. And we just assume one node. If you had multiple nodes installed, you could, go in and configure your project so that it points at a different node.exe and you mm-hmm. run against a different node. But for things like IntelliSense against the built-in modules, we just assume right now, I think it's 10.21 is what our IntelliSense is based off of. So it's not nearly as flexible, but it doesn't really need to be.
Mm-hmm. And the experience generally is freaking me out because I can now go file new project in Visual Studio on a machine I built 2 weeks ago. And I see iOS and Android because I put Xamarin tools on, right? I've got yep. Windows Store and Windows Phone. I've got Node and Python all inside of VS.
Yep.
Like, it's just...
You can target anything.
A year ago, I couldn't do that. It's just making me just a little uncomfortable because I know that somehow
Microsoft... You should be loving it.
Somehow Microsoft's going to screw me over in this, right?
No. So, I mean, one of the great things about, you know, a lot of what you just mentioned is it's all open source, right? So the Python tools are all open source. The Node tools are all open source. I don't know about Xamarin's VS tooling, but obviously huge portions of what they do mm-hmm. are actually all open source. So, you know, even if we tried to take it away from you, you could always bring it back. You could go and fork our repo and, start adding features that you want or changing it to be however you want. And it's not going away.
So sometimes we'll see runtimes that are open source, but not tooling.
Yeah.
Everything you're doing is open source. Is that
yep.
correct?
Yep.
Okay. So I can go file a new project. I go to JavaScript. I actually ran around looking for a node.
Yeah. So it's, you know, VS is very language centric. Mm-hmm. And obviously all of our JavaScript, all of our node files end in .js. And right. so it's JavaScript. We will probably make it a little bit more obvious by putting a tab under JavaScript that says node .js so that it's a little more noticeable. But I think it'll probably stay under JavaScript.
Yeah. It just took me a second.
Yeah.
Because I went to JavaScript and I looked around and there's all the Windows Store JavaScript stuff. And then right there, kind of just chilling, just hanging out, is Node. And it was interesting because you've got a couple of things. And this was very intuitive. Once my brain shifted into the right mode, it said, oh, new project from existing Node files.
Yep.
It took me a second, but now I totally get it because there isn't a project file. There's no Node proj.
Yep. And so people, this was actually something that we kind of struggled with early adopters was how do they get started? And initially we just told them, you know, take your files and drag them from Windows Explorer into VS, you know, create a project somewhere. And people were running into problems with that. At one point in time, we were overriding their server.js. And so we knew we had to make it really simple to get going. And so now you can just go through this wizard and it'll collect all the files that are in your project. By default, it'll exclude your Node modules folder because you probably don't want that in your projects and you're constantly struggling with upgrades and re-adding things and removing things whenever you do an NPM install. So, it's just right there. It'll suck everything in and you can get going.
Mm-hmm. And I went and downloaded Ghost, which is kind of the exciting thing du jour. It's the project in Node that everyone's jazzed about today. It's kind of WordPress blogging type thing, except it's written in Node. So I went to the Try Ghost or whatever the Ghost website was. I said, download. I put it in a folder. I sat there and I stared at it for a while, trying to figure out what to do next. Went new Node project, pointed at it. And then it said, well, which of these files do you want to be your startup?
Yep.
Which is really cool because Ghost doesn't have a server.js or an app.js. They do is index.js because they want to be a module potentially.
Yeah.
And I hit index and then it said, well, do you want to exclude your Node modules? And it seems like a reasonable idea. Hit OK. Hit Control F5 and it ran and it just worked. It shelled out to node.exe, which is kind of what I would expect. Could you talk to me about the components that would be required for one to have language support? There's like debugger and there's the coloring and the syntax highlighting. What are all the recipe for integrating with Visual Studio?
So there's so many different pieces that you could potentially plug in, right? You mentioned kind of a lot of the basics that people think of. There's also things like Object Browser, which we don't support in Node right now, which, you know, you can see your functions and in class-based languages, you can see your classes and potentially we could map that for JavaScript if we see certain patterns.
But like, what's a basic? Like when you think about, I want Node and for the 90% solution, what did you need to plug in?
So, I mean, the basics I think of are syntax color highlighting, which we actually get for free from Visual Studio because it already has JavaScript support. IntelliSense and debugging. I mean, those are kind of the top three that are really important. I mean, those are the things that I use every single day when I'm developing. And if I didn't have those, I wouldn't really feel like I was in an IDE. To a lesser extent, there's things like profiling. There's obviously the project system, which is pretty big, although, you know, potentially a little controversial in some ways because some people like project systems. Some people just like having all of their files on disk. We went the project system route. Obviously, there's a bunch of benefits of plugging into other things that are out there, like deployment to Windows Azure. With dynamic languages, another big one is the REPL window, where you can do interactive development very quickly and experiment and try things out.
And a REPL is like an immediate window?
It's like an immediate window on steroids. So REPL stands for read, eval, print loop. And if you were to just fire up node.exe, from the command line, it's the experience that you get there where you can do console.log hi and you can start defining functions and whatever.
How do I get into that in the Node tools? I went looking for that. I couldn't find it.
View other windows, node interactive window, node.js.
I was in debug windows.
Yes. So in Python, we have a debug interactive window. We don't have that yet for Node.
Okay. So it's under view other windows.
Yep.
Okay. And is that just a view on running Node by itself?
Yeah, so it just starts up a new node.exe, and you can just go ahead and plug away and write whatever code you want.
It just remotes it into a window inside of VS. Or does it just launch Node itself?
So there's a little Node script that's running. We have a Node, like a JavaScript file itself, which is communicating over a socket to the Visual Studio process. And so as you type stuff in, it sends it to the Node process. It evaluates it, and then it sends it back.
I see. Okay. So when I hit Control F5 and Node launches and the browser launches, you're orchestrating that.
Yes.
Okay. And do I have the support where I can like pick different browsers, like those, because ASP.NET gives you this kind of like drop down for like pick Chrome, pick Firefox.
Yep. So, for Control F5, I actually think the answer to that might be no, but I'm not entirely certain off the top of my head. For F5, the answer I believe is actually yes. I think we got this all right. So you brought up ASP.NET. And one of the interesting things about our Node projects is that they are actually ASP.NET projects. So
no way.
Yes.
Dirty little secret.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, Visual Studio supports flavored projects where you have a base project type like C Sharp or VB or JavaScript or Node.js. And then you can have flavors on top of that. And so the ASP.NET project system is implemented as a flavor. And so it flavors VB or C Sharp usually. And then we actually add yet another flavor on top of that so that we can sandwich the ASP.NET project system and remove everything about it that we don't like. So it'll inject all of these random folders into your project system, and we don't want those to be there, and it'll change colors of special folder
so
names.
So you just deny those things.
Yes.
No, I don't want that.
Yep.
What is it that you did want? Why make the Node stuff a web project flavor? Because it doesn't sound like it's really an ASP.NET project. It's a web project flavor.
Yes, yes. And that's, there's all sorts of tools which plug in and recognize web projects. And so those are the deployment to Windows Azure for cloud service, for publishing to Windows Azure websites. Those are the main things that we really wanted to get. But it does bring along that debugging aspect where you, when you're in the tools, you'll see the drop down. You can select your web browser and choose it and launch it either into Chrome or Firefox or IE or Visual Studio's built-in page inspector.
Nice. And of course, since we added in an ASP.NET, the more emulators choice, you can go and get like the Electric Plum emulator for iPhone.
Yes.
I could do that on Node as well.
That should work.
It should just work because it's just another browser.
Yes. I don't quite know how that is. How that all comes together, you know, there could be some work there where we need something else to light up to make it all work. But
I will call you if it doesn't work.
Awesome.
that's very clever, though. Now, the debugging part seems kind of impossible because I get how it works in .NET because I've understood it all the while.
Yep.
Does Visual Studio really have deep integration in .NET, or is it really that there's a bright line that says we support any debugger at all?
So, both of those statements are kind of true. So Visual Studio supports any debugger at all. It has a set of, interfaces that you have to implement. And ultimately you're providing a COM object, which is your debug engine. And Visual Studio will instantiate that and your debug engine can do whatever it wants, basically.
Okay.
Visual Studio ships with a number of built-in debug engines, obviously. It has its native debug engine. It has its .NET debug engine. And so that is the built-in support for those already.
And you say built-in, though, but they are still someone's instance of those things.
Yep. Someone at Microsoft.
They're built-in and that they came with it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so but they're still instances of? Is that right?
Yes. Yes. So they implement the same interfaces.
Okay.
And Visual Studio instantiates them in the same way. And, you know, they go off and talk to the process and make all of the debugging magic happen. So for doing Node debugging, we just had to go off and implement that again. And we've done that once with Python. And the way we implement the two experiences is actually pretty similar. Ultimately, for both of the debuggers, we are just talking to a remote process over a socket. In the case of Python, we had to go and write the server side of that where we're in the Python process for Node. That's actually all done for us, which was kind of great. In that it's all in V8, and V8 exposes this API, which is very,
V8 is the JavaScript engine, right?
Yes.
We're not using the Windows JavaScript stuff.
Right. This is Google's JavaScript engine, which has been, used inside of Node, and it's the, JavaScript engine that joint ships with every copy of Node.
This is a really important thing to like remind people of is
yes.
that you're not doing a Node flavor or a style of Node. This is Node.exe, the one that you install when you download Node.
Yep. So if your Node works today on Windows, you know, we're not going and giving you a different Node. Everything's just going to continue to work.
So when you're doing the debugging, you're getting like F9 for breakpoints and step over and hover and all that stuff.
Yep.
you're going back over into Node and V8 and interrogating it and asking questions?
So it sends us events based upon things that happen, and we send it notifications of what we want to happen. So when you hit F9, we will go ahead and send, you know, set a breakpoint here. When you hit F5, we'll go ahead and launch Node and connect to its socket, and then we will send over all of the breakpoints that you have set already. And it will start sending us events like, you know, this script has loaded, and then we have to do a little dance to bind breakpoints at that point. Binding and rebinding breakpoints has been rather problematic, but
because of us or because of them?
Because of them, because of, like, so they will recompile things, and they will bind breakpoints. When a script gets loaded, they'll tell us a breakpoint has been bound, and it'll kind of jump around, and we have to jump through some hoops to fix things up and keep things looking normal to you from the VS side of the world.
So it should feel, though, like anything.
Yes.
Source code and hit F9.
Yep. Set your breakpoints, step in, step out, step over. We support conditional breakpoints, kind of all of the basic things that you'd expect to be there.
When, if I understand correctly, and forgive my ignorance, when I'm opening a JS file and I get the coloring, that's a language service. It gives me that coloring.
Yep.
And then when I do kind of IntelliSense and most of the things, some of the magic that we do in the JavaScript engine is Chakra.
Yep. So
how do you balance that?
So our IntelliSense is actually all built around Chakra.
Okay.
So it, the way Visual Studio's IntelliSense.
Chakra being the IE10, IE11.
Yes. Yes.
JavaScript.
Yeah. And the IntelliSense in Visual Studio is built around Chakra, to a pretty extreme extent. It's actually when you press dot, your code basically runs in Chakra up to the point where you press dot. And,
okay.
And then it sees what expression you're at and it knows what that object is. So your code is executing. Now, there's no side effects from your code because it's running on kind of a modified version of Chakra, actually, that doesn't actually do anything. But if you're doing comparisons or loops or evaling code, all of that code will just execute in IntelliSense. So you can actually get a pretty amazing IntelliSense experience because it can understand these constructs that it couldn't understand through static analysis.
Okay.
Now, the flip side to that is you may potentially have to run a lot of code to get up to that dot. And so if you're working in a website, you know, you're probably not having a huge amount of JavaScript code that's running up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
With Node, we're starting to see that we're starting to hit the limits of where that works. So as we evolve the product, we're going to kind of investigate other ways to do IntelliSense. And that's kind of one of the major things that we have to figure out mm-hmm. post-alpha.
So does that mean that the original design of that was just not right? Or was it just focused on client and not on server?
It was more focused on the client, I think, and it works great when it's worked, when it's just about the client.
Mm-hmm.
It is really pretty amazing in the ways that it can succeed, where other strategies don't work. Yeah. So there's trade-offs.
Yeah. When it gives up, though, it says everything turns yellow and it just says,
yes.
I got nothing for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And it will just give you the list of all of the identifiers that are in the file, which
right.
it can get still give you a reasonable completion experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an experience that you see in kind of lesser IDEs, right? Where they don't understand the full language, but they can still offer you completions on dot by just looking at what identifiers you've already used.
Why do you think that we should continue to push so hard for IntelliSense? Like IntelliSense is not auto type ahead or auto complete. Wouldn't one solution be to like just punt and just give type ahead?
I think IntelliSense is so great and such a useful feature that
really?
Yeah.
So you're going to keep fighting for IntelliSense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I love IntelliSense. I mean it makes me so much more productive. Even if I know just about what I'm going to type, you know, just I can type a little bit of it and, mm-hmm. you know, it's accurate and precise. And
with type ahead autocomplete, unless you've typed it before, you're probably not going to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also like it for just exploring APIs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to know what's there and you haven't used this object model before and it's so useful. And, you know, you can see the functions, you can kind of move around in the completion box and see documentation for things. It's, you know, not just good for coding, but good for exploring too.
I was pretty impressed with the NPM, the Node Package Manager experience.
Yep.
I kind of thought it would look like NuGet, but it doesn't. It has kind of an interesting dialogue box. which made me start digging into the story behind this, because it doesn't look like code that we did.
No. So NPM was contributed to us through Redgate. So interestingly, there has been a lot of interest in Node Tools for Visual Studio in general. Mm-hmm. And there have been a couple of other projects that have been out there a little bit. So there's actually someone released something actually called Node.js Tools for Visual Studio up onto the Visual Studio Gallery.
Hmm.
I believe that person has now contributed. It's a guy named Dimitri. Mm-hmm. And I forget his last name. Sorry, Dimitri.
I will hunt down who Dimitri is and give him the respect that he deserves.
And so he's contributed some bug fixes for the debugger and other things. And Redgate was also working on a tool, mm-hmm. Which is built around, I actually think it was built off of PTVS.
Mm-hmm.
And so
PTVS, the Python tools.
Yes.
Visual Studio.
And so we knew we were working on these tools and we saw these popping up. And so we reached out to everyone we saw doing this and we said, you know, look, we're working on it. Would you like to collaborate with us?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Redgate had already done some work on was the Node Package Manager. So, we worked with them and, they contributed the entire feature. Bart Reed has actually been here this week, preparing for the launch.
Like hanging out? Visiting?
Yeah. And, fixing bugs and doing bug bashes with us to try to find bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we just got NPM in and, it's kind of this huge, awesome contribution.
Yeah. Just as a disclosure point for folks that may have been paying attention, Redgate has and occasionally sponsors my blog. I did not know that.
Okay.
I didn't know that they were involved in this.
So
I thought that was kind of cool. I discovered about an hour ago.
Wow.
Because I had called you like last week, like, hey, can you come and do the podcast? And then I discovered Redgate. But I don't want anyone to think that I'm doing anything weird to do that. I also thought that the way that you handle references is really cool because the node_modules folder appears. It's kind of in a ghosty kind of way because it's not part of the project.
Yep.
So you can see it.
It has the same icon as references does in Visual Studio.
Yeah.
There's a bug in alpha where it turns into an open folder when it's expanded, but
it's okay. Yeah. But it's cool though because I'm just giving you like some feedback because I've been running this thing for a couple of hours now. Because you guys gave me a build like before we did the podcast that we're doing right now. And I feel like there's like the physical representation of the modules and then there's the logical tree.
Yep.
And I really like that. Like I want to show the NuGet guys that and they should do something similar.
And you can drill down, you know, you have your module right there and then you expand it and you see all of its dependencies and you can keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice condensed view of everything. Versus expanding node modules itself, right? Where kind of there's all of these extra folders, all of these extra files, and it's...
And is there versions too?
Yes.
Like, I think that's really cool. So then it's not... Even if you had some weird versioning where you had... Not weird. If you had, you know, package A or module A, rather, that refers to C and module B that refers to C, you'll just see C twice, and that's fine.
Yeah, and it will even do things... So it's getting that information from package.json, right?
Right.
It's not just the files that are on disk.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a dependency, but you don't actually have it on your computer, it'll show that it's missing.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
So, I noticed that, and I didn't know how to fix it.
Yeah. But
this is a compliment. I opened up my command line, and I typed node install, and as it was coming in, somehow you guys were noticing it.
Yep. We are tracking the changes, and so Solution Explorer just updates.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to go over now and hit refresh. It was kind of like rippling through.
Yeah. And even
updating the icons.
So not only does the NPM status update like that in real time, so does the actual files on disk. So if you do an NPM install, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it starts creating node modules, Solution Explorer will actually update in real time
mm-hmm.
as the files are getting updated.
Yeah.
Whereas in a C# or VB project, you actually do have to go over there and press refresh if you want to see files that are on disk, but not in your project.
So you guys are doing a lot of file watcher stuff. I thought that was really cool though. I just feel very comfortable.
Yeah.
And I actually, to be honest with you, I hid a bunch of toolbars and stuff because I really just wanted it to look kind of, I went into black mode, like black theme, because I'm thinking about like I wanted it to look like Sublime,
yeah,
but more,
yeah.
And I feel like you've succeeded in that. So I've got debugging and I've got watches and I've got, you know, references. Yeah.
Another cool idea I think about the NPM thing is Visual Studio Solution Explorer is this feature to open new Solution Explorer windows, actually. And so you could just go and click on the NPM window, mm-hmm. and you can open a new Solution Explorer window that's just scoped to NPM.
Yeah.
So you can kind of have your Solution Explorer with all of your files over on the right-hand side, and you could have an NPM window over on the left-hand side. So you can kind of have this separate NPM window where you're managing and just paying attention to your packages in one spot.
That is a great idea.
And it just kind of falls out of the features of Visual Studio.
And there are some things that you don't have done yet. Like I opened the Jade views and they're just kind of chilling.
Yep.
Do you think that you'll get to the point where people will spend most of their time in VS and using and getting Jade coloring and like also .json files in the alpha?
Yep.
We're not quite there.
We're going to have to go through and add more classifiers and things like that. Mm-hmm. Visual Studio has actually been pretty good about at getting these lesser used formats added. They added less in some update, like maybe VS update
2002.2. That was Mads. We actually did that in Web Essentials and then graduated it in 2002.2.
Yep. Was it Web Essentials or Web Matrix?
What happened was Web Essentials did it as we have this thing called Web Essentials that we do it as a, we call it like ASP.NET Labs.
Okay.
And then if it's a cool feature and everyone like rah rah, they're like, yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
We'll graduate the feature and then we'll remove it from Web Essentials and then we put it into VS proper. So we're doing crazy stuff. We have like Markdown right now.
Yeah.
As a split screen. Then we'll remove it.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Cool. So one of the things I want to make sure you guys do, and we're just now talking about this for the first time and happen to be recording it, talk to us because we're actually maybe going to add the .json stuff.
Okay, great.
And that might break you guys. So my opinion is that
we can only have one owner of the extension.
So talk to Mads and friends because I think they're going to do that and they may beat you to it.
Okay.
Yeah. It would be really cool to make Web Essentials complement you guys.
Yep.
Because you've got that like that dot style thing as well that looked kind of like less.
Mm-hmm.
I think Web Essentials plus Node would be really complementary, and we should make sure we don't step on each other.
Yeah.
Because it will break.
Yeah.
So let's have that conversation because I think that with the hovering over CSS and the JavaScript debugger and the Node project system, Web Essentials could really be complementary.
Yeah.
And then you've forgetting about, and I would hate to say this, but I just started the sentence, forgetting about ASP.NET and thinking about Visual Studio as a kind of a, just a web IDE that handles any kind of thing you want to do.
Yep. And we have the Web Express SKU, right? And,
right.
One of the things that we have been talking about is how do we get a free version of this out there? So with PTVS, we plug into the integrated shell and it just works. But the integrated shell doesn't have the JavaScript language service and things like that.
Yeah.
And so we might, at some point try to get into the Web Express SKU or try to start some other SKU that's web centric, but,
You should not start another SKU. You should talk to my boss.
Yeah.
And get into what we call VWD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like the right way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then ultimately what this is becoming then is a web powerhouse for Azure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And that is a huge part of our focus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have all sorts of Azure deployment. Mm-hmm. And you can, of course you can use Git to deploy to anything.
Yeah. We just want people to be happy. I've said this before. I made a joke earlier, you know, it's like, we're going to get paid regardless, you know, until we get fired for doing something.
Yeah.
So let's just do awesome stuff until we either make people successful and happy and our bosses are happy or we get canned.
Yep.
Aren't you pretty happy your badge still works?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
So where is the site? Do they go to Codeplex? Do they go on a website?
It's on Codeplex. It is nodejstools.codeplex.com.
nodejstools.codeplex.com. Cool. And by the time I put this podcast up, I should have had written up a blog post about this.
Yep.
And some people hopefully will have discovered it and started playing with it.
Yeah.
How often are you going to update?
So we are probably going to do, It's going to be a few months before we get to beta, most likely.
Okay.
But we actually have the ability to put out releases pretty quickly now. You know, obviously we're Microsoft and there's some process involved.
Yeah.
But, we have been working on cutting that process down. And so we will probably be putting out builds every couple of weeks. They won't be as well tested as kind of our big, you know, our alpha. We spent a bunch of time making sure everything was working. And beta will do that same thing. But if you run into an issue and open a bug, we will probably fix that bug pretty quickly and it'll be out in a developer release and you can check it out if you want to live on the bleeding edge.
And do you think that there was, well, I got to say it, there was the whole kind of Iron Python and Iron Ruby thing and there was never really a sense of it was it loved? Was it supported? Was it cared about? Those projects have gone off and some have succeeded and some have not.
Mm-hmm.
Are these peers? Is Python for Visual Studio tools and Node tools for Visual Studio peer projects, or is this an experiment? Peer, you know what I mean? Like, are they brothers? Are they brothers? Is this just a younger brother, and they're still loved by the parents? It's the same.
So, Node tools and Python tools are peers of each other. They share a bunch of common code between them. If you went off to the source code tab on both of them and overlaid the two source drops on top of each other, you'd have a bunch of files that you would overwrite.
So you needed Python tools to succeed and be well and be stable, and it enabled the Node tools to stable.
Yes. And like our project system is shared. Mm-hmm. And of course, our project system came from something called MPF Proj long ago.
Yeah.
But it has advanced significantly. So they are, two peas in a pod, effectively.
Okay. Younger brother, older brother, right?
Yeah.
Parents love them the same?
Yeah.
Oh, I have kids. What's wrong with you?
I don't have kids, so I'm thinking about it.
By that, I'm saying that, like, you're not gonna, like, kill one kid. You're not gonna get rid of one kid. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think we'll, get rid of one kid.
I'm just trying to understand if it's an experiment or if it's a thing just like Python where it's like, yeah, we're really in this to make it awesome.
It's so, you know, our team is really into this to make it awesome. It is also a bit of an experiment though, right?
Yeah.
It, you know, we want to see where it will go. We want to see how people will react to it. And if it succeeds wildly, then, you know, I think, you know, it's not going to get killed, obviously.
but if 12 people download the thing,
yeah,
then it's probably not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if no one cares, then I can't see us keep building it, but I think people are going to care.
That's a good answer. And that's not like a marketing answer because you're a dev.
Yeah.
So if people use it and love it, and I assume you guys are going to measure that based on downloads and excitement and issues and,
yep,
and uptick, like people
swim.
meaning,
The Visual Studio Improvement Program? Is that what it's called?
Are people clicking the software quality metrics buttons and letting us see that they are in fact use it?
Yeah.
Like it might get great press, but the metrics might say 6 people use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is one of those things.
Or they installed it and they, you know.
They never used it again. You do see that people love the Python one. Is that correct?
Yep.
So that's success. Would it be fair to say that's a success?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, cool. So people have said we would love a Node IDE.
Yep.
But your money, put your money where your mouth is in the sense of, are all these Visual Studio people going to...
As in, you know, use it.
Free.
Use it.
Well,
it's free.
Put your money where your mouth is in that...
Put your $0.
Take your $0 and your copy of Visual Studio that you got somehow and make it happen.
Yep.
Cool. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Scott.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.